You're listening to SBS News.
For many, young and old, 2020 will be the toughest year of our lives.
Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison in March, foreshadowing a year that has seen sweeping changes to the Australian way of life. The nation was hit by multiple crises from as early as New Year's Day, when bushfires were ravaging regional Australia. Mick Gardiner, a resident of Batlow on the New South Wales southwest coast, was among the many to lose their homes in the ferocious infernos.
It's pretty hard to comprehend that, you know, 4 days ago, 5 days ago, that was standing, beautiful little room. Now it's just a smouldering mess. You can't replace it. No. Is that enough, fellas? Are you starting to tear up here?
Yeah, no.
In Mallacoota in Victoria, thousands were evacuated by sea as the Australian Defence Force was deployed to the disaster zone.
Sky was red at 1 minute, then completely black the next minute, and then just so smoky, you had to cover your mouth.
For someone who's never experienced that stuff, very, very, very frightening, yeah.
At the end of the bushfire season, an estimated 18.6 million hectares of land had been burned and over 9,000 buildings destroyed. 34 people were directly killed by the infernos, including several volunteer firefighters, and the Worldwide Fund for Nature estimated at least 3 billion animals were impacted. Then, from one crisis to another. Panic buying in shopping centres, shortages of toilet paper and supermarket staples. As coronavirus cases began to arrive on Australian shores from overseas, the first case reported on January 25. By March, the first wave had arrived and unprecedented action was taken. A national cabinet of federal, state and territory leaders formed. The federal government closed Australia's borders to non-residents on March 20. In the days that followed, social distancing rules were introduced to Australia, signalling a new normal that would remain for much of the year. Large gatherings were cancelled, state borders closed, restaurants shuttered, and businesses began working remotely. A new directive given to Australians to stay COVID safe and stay home. Then Chief Health Officer Brendan Murphy justified the harsh measures.
These measures are really draconian. We know that. But if we're going to control community transmission, we have to stop the capacity of this virus from spreading.
Outbreaks emerged in aged care facilities, putting the most vulnerable at risk, while health authorities in New South Wales were left red-faced after passengers on board the Ruby Princess cruise ship were allowed to disembark in Sydney without being tested for the virus. In the weeks that followed, the cruise ship was linked to 663 cases in Australia and around the world and the deaths of 28 people. But despite public anxiety, the measures to flatten the curve and protect Australia's health system from being overwhelmed were successful. By June, case numbers in most Australian jurisdictions had fallen to zero. But in Victoria, another outbreak was spreading. A breach in hotel quarantine, touted as the nation's first line of defence against the virus, led to clusters that spread across Melbourne. On the afternoon of July 4, 9 public housing towers in the city were put into Australia's strictest lockdown, under police guard as residents were tested. Resident and mother of 8, Mary Adjuith, shared her unit with her 5 children, who were left traumatised by the ordeal.
For 2 days, we didn't have any food. When they called me, I was crying. I told them no one is helping me. I am home with my child and I can't do anything.
A month later, the city of Melbourne moved to stage 4 measures as new daily cases soared into the hundreds. Residents were told not to travel more than 5 kilometres from their homes, allowed outside only for exercise and for essential reasons, with a so-called ring of steel sealing the city off from the rest of the state. Premier Daniel Andrews became a familiar face to millions as he delivered the daily case tally and death toll.
These steps are the ones we have to take. These are the decisions I've made because anything short of this will not keep us safe. We need to come down on this hard. This is what this strategy is all about.
After a gruelling 3-month lockdown, restrictions were eased, and now the virus has been suppressed in every Australian jurisdiction. While the physical threat of the pandemic has eased, the financial impacts will linger for years, if not decades, to come. In scenes reminiscent of the Great Depression of the 1930s, long queues formed outside Centrelink offices in March as thousands of Australians found themselves out of work following the shutdowns.
Looking for job opportunities and how the government can help us. The Aussie battler right now, I think we're all Aussie battlers.
Australia's economy entered recession for the first time since 1991. The government's promised and long-awaited budget surplus hopes were dashed as new welfare and stimulus measures were introduced. Treasurer Josh Frydenberg unveiled the budget deficit in October, promising a strong recovery.
This is all about jobs. It's all about helping those who are out of a job get into a job.
The Great Depression and two world wars did not bring Australia to its knees, and neither will COVID-19.
At the height of the lockdown in April, there was one man able to enjoy additional freedoms. Former Cardinal George Pell's convictions of child sexual abuse were quashed by the High Court, leading to his release from prison after over a year behind bars. In September, the prominent Catholic left the country and returned to Rome, where his return received a mixed reaction.
Lovely to be back.
What's the purpose of the visit?
Thank you.
You're a horrible person! We hate you!
There he was reunited with Pope Francis and has been tipped by experts to once again shape events inside the Vatican. 2020 was also marked by widespread protests championing the Black Lives Matter movement. Major marches took place in June and July in several Australian cities, calling for an end to Indigenous deaths in custody. Latona Dungay is the mother of David Dungay Jr., whose death has galvanised protesters.
I feel really good that I'm going to get justice for not only my son, I'm going to get justice for the whole lot of death in custody.
There was also anger at the destruction of the sacred Juukan Gorge caves in Western Australia by mining giant Rio Tinto. The 46,000-year-old rock shelters in the Pilbara were blown up as part of the construction of a new iron ore mine, without the consultation of traditional owners. The outcry led to the resignation of three executives, including CEO Jean-Sébastien Jacques. A reckoning also came for Australia's Special Forces soldiers, following the release of the Afghanistan Inquiry Report. It found credible allegations 25 SAS troops were involved in the murders of 39 civilians and prisoners. The report's release led to the disbandment of the SAS 2nd Squadron and an apology from Defence Chief Angus Campbell to the people of Afghanistan.
To the people of Afghanistan, on behalf of the Australian Defence Force, I sincerely and unreservedly apologise for any wrongdoing by Australian soldiers. Such alleged behaviour profoundly disrespected the trust placed in us by the Afghan people.
Amid the challenges of 2020, there were stories of unexpected triumph. After 804 days behind bars in Iran on espionage charges, academic Kylie Moore-Gilbert was freed at the end of November. She thanked her friends and supporters on her return for their persistent campaign for her to be released, and the Prime Minister commended her resilience.
She is an amazing Australian who has gone through an ordeal that we can only imagine.
And there were scenes of jubilation at airports across the country in December as state border closures were dropped. Australians reunited together after many months forced apart.
It's been very tough on all of us to be apart.
And you can keep up to date on the coronavirus in your language at sbs.com.au/coronavirus. Naveen Razik, SBS News.